But before I do, she does that, I want to remind you, teachers, if you signed up for a blessing bag of school supplies for your classroom, those are available outside on your way out. If you didn't sign up, we may have one or two left. I don't know. You might be able to check with Heather on that. But you raised up these school supplies and you brought these in to bless our teachers that are going into their classrooms this year. Praise be. Praise be to God. And don't forget, we're also inviting you to pray after each one of our services today at your local school campus. Heather, you got something for us?
Yeah, if I have any kids who are going into the sixth grade, stay up here with me, and the rest of you guys can head on down with your teachers. If I have any sixth graders out here, come on up. Okay, you guys can head on down. Go on back. You can just go on back down, guys. We'll let them walk by. This is simultaneously my favorite day of the year and my least favorite day of the year. I get to bring all these kids up for you to see and to pray over them and start them off right for the school year. But then I get to say, or have to say, goodbye to an every Sunday experience with some of these kids. Jen, I can't look at you. It gets harder and harder every year that I have to stand up here and do this, because the first year was easier because I'd had the kids maybe a couple months. Several of these kids I've had since they were three. That's you. I have a lot of moments with these kids that kind of have shaped my experience here at the church at Rolling Plains, and I think has shaped some of theirs. See, I'm going to cry, and I don't do that. I can tell you some first conversations with some of these kids. I can tell you, thank you, sweetie, some moments maybe we don't want to remember, right? But some really great ones. And Bo, I don't know where you're at, but you're getting some really great kids this year. These are some kids who can really change the world and change the church, and I am so proud of them. And just know that you can always come back downstairs, because I can put you to work. And if you ever need anything, all your small group leaders and I am always there for you. After you go up to Bo, come on down and see me today, though, because I have a gift for you, okay? All right, do you want to pray over him?
God, we just lift up these young people and the amazing people that they are. Lord God, would you just bless them and remind them that they're not future leaders, Lord, they're leaders now, that you can do an amazing work in them and use them with their classmates, with their friends, to really help them understand the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord God, would you guide them and lead them as they go into the youth ministry? Would you prepare Bo for them, and would you prepare them for Bo? And God, would you just make that an incredible experience of 6th and 7th and 8th graders and 9th graders and 10th graders, 11th and 12th graders, and oh, Lord God, there'll be one of those soon, but we just celebrate them moving into the sixth grade and promoting them up into that ministry. God bless them. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. I love you, sweetie. Oh, man. One of those was mine. Holy cow. What a great day this is. Is God not good or what? God, give God a hand. You can give God a hand. I just love days like this because we don't have to necessarily tell you what we're about as a church. We show you what we're about. And that's one of the things that we're about is loving on families, loving on young people. And that's actually where we're going in the sermon today. But in a unique and I think a very powerful way, I believe it's a topic that a lot of pastors don't preach on. I don't preach on it very often. But when I do, I'm reminded of how important it is to the heart of God. We're in the middle of a sermon series called How to Neighbor, and we're talking about how God has empowered us to love the people right in front of us, not just the people that we select. We talked about that last week. It's so easy for us to be selective of the people that we love, amen? Because there are some people that feel rather unlovable. Now, I know I'm the only one that feels that from time to time, but whether it's in our offices or at our schools or even in our households for time to time, it's tough to love on people, isn't it? I'm not talking to some of the right people here today, I guess. But today we want to talk about how God wants us to be a neighbor. It's not just who, because remember the guy last week that asked that question, you know, oh Lord God, you know, what's the most important command? And he said, well, you know, that. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and do what? Love your neighbor as yourself. And then he followed up with the question. He says, well, who is my neighbor? And the Bible tells us he did that to justify himself. So he could figure out, what's the least amount of work I have to do? What's the least amount of people I have to love? Because if you show me who I have to love, then I don't have to mess with these people over here. And so we talked about the issue of racism. We dealt with prejudice and how we kind of lump people into categories by the color of our skin or the accent of our voice or what country we're from or what socioeconomic background we have. And we said, God wants us to love on all people, to love on all people. And so today we want to lean into another challenging area. Last week we talked about reconciling racism. And today God wants us to talk about an amazing area that he believes he's called and he's purposed his local church to be the leaders in, to be plan A in. And we're going to talk about embracing orphans. We're going to talk about families, but we're going to talk about the brokenness of families. We're going to talk about children, but we're going to talk about children that are really broken and in need of adoption, in need of foster care, in need of respite care, in need of adults and loving people to come alongside of them and bless them. We're going to learn to love our neighbor in new and amazing ways. We're going to love all those encountered, and we're going to especially love on those women that when they get pregnant are not ready to be a mom. From time to time, this happens in our world, and our world is filled with brokenness. And maybe a mom has an addiction issue. Maybe a mom has been through an abusive issue, or maybe mom is an abuser herself, or maybe dad is in that situation. They don't know how to show love because maybe love was never shown to them. Maybe a mom or a dad is battling mental illness, and they've made mistakes, and whatever it is, they're just not necessarily ready to be a mom. Guys, you know, just because a guy gets a girl pregnant doesn't mean he's ready to be a dad. Amen? It's a sad reality in our world, but just because a guy can get a girl pregnant doesn't make him ready to be a dad. And there are so many people in our world that are just not properly equipped for whatever reason to be a caregiver for the child in their life. And the reality in our world is at any given moment, we have around 400,000 orphans that is foster care to adopt in the United States of America. Around 400,000 in the United States of America, all because people are dealing and struggling with challenges in their life and they're broken. And by the way, all people are welcome in this church. No matter where you are in this spectrum, maybe you're struggling and you don't have your child with you because of a challenge in your life. You are welcome here every single day. We'll love you. We'll struggle with you. We'll pray over you. We'll cry with you. We'll celebrate victories. And maybe you're a child and you were adopted early on in your life and you've just spent your whole life wondering what purpose God has for you. You are welcome here. And you need to hear today that God has an amazing purpose and plan for your life. Maybe you're praying through this whole foster care and this whole adoptive piece. God is working a miracle in your life. I had a woman come to me after the first service today. No lie. She said, I was brokenhearted last night because I have my son's children. I'm their grandmother, and they're now living with me because my son and his girlfriend, they can't care for them. And I've become bitter. I've become frustrated. I've become angry by that, and I was about to give up last night. And God brought this sermon this morning. I didn't do it. God prepared this 6 weeks ago. How in the world could I know that that was what she needed to hear on a Saturday night or on a Sunday morning? But wherever you are in this spectrum, God is going to use you to hear this and to bless you in amazing ways. Because here's the deal. It might seem overwhelming that there's over 400,000 children at any given moment in our nation that are in need of a forever family. In Ohio alone, in 2011, and before that and between there and now, there's anywhere from 12,000 to 18,000, give or take, children in Ohio alone that need a forever home. And these statistics can be overwhelming. And we can start saying, how in the world do we make a difference? But what you need to understand is a couple of important things. There are far more followers of Jesus Christ than there are orphans in America. Amen? And if you look at the statistics, there are actually almost as many churches in the United States of America as there are orphans, adoptive, forever family needing children, foster care children. And so God, if one person in every church in America was involved in foster care, involved in adoption, we could eradicate this challenge and we could place the lonely in homes and families. Praise be to God. And so we want to talk about this challenging issue that God has called us to be, because the church is God's plan A to help children who are in need, if you're taking notes. Now, you can write those down in the ones in your bulletin, or we can do it electronically. If you've got a smartphone, you go to the YouVersion Bible app, go to events, and the notes will be right there for you. But God is saying to us that we are plan A for children who are in need. Now, don't hear me from this. Hear the brother of Jesus Christ himself, James, as he writes these words of what the purest form of religion is. In James 1:27, the Bible says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." And so what he's saying is, listen, when it boils down to it, you hear Jesus talk about three people groups on a regular basis that he's come for. He's come for those that are poor, poor in spirit, poor physically, financially, poor emotionally, poor mentally, but he's come for the impoverished, he's come for the widows, and he's come for the orphans. Jesus mentions that on many occasions, and James is here to remind us that the purest form of faith in Christ is to care for orphans and widows because they are so close to the heart of God, and they are called to be our neighbors. They're people that are right in front of us, and that we're called to love on everyone that's in front of us. And so what God has is that he has it born into our spirit that when we see or hear of a tragedy, our hearts get heavy when we see or hear of a tragedy. When we see what happens in Louisiana and all these people dying and hundreds of thousands of people displaced from their homes, our hearts are broken. But then you see a picture of a child and then it really hits home. You see, our hearts are dialed in. It's in our DNA that God created us for, is that when we see people hurting or we see a tragedy, it moves our spirit. But when a child is involved, our hearts move even more. You know, the stories are out there. You know, maybe mom is stuck on Oxycontin and she's hooked and she can't get off and we don't know where dad is, and therefore those children are without a caring and loving family, are in needing of help. Or maybe dad's in prison and mom is overdosed and she's died and there's just no one to care for the kids. You know, you can start to put the names to the faces and to realize that they are all heartbreaking moments, but that those 400,000 children are not just statistics, they're children. Their lives, they're God's creation. And every orphan has a name, every face has a story, and they are not a stat or a number. They are God's beloved children. And he calls us to be plan A in their life. When one child suffers, it doesn't sit right in the human heart. It's God's way that's been built in us, because God's call for us as a church is to care for those in need, to care for our neighbors. You know, who pays the highest price in the problems of this world? Who pays the highest price in the biggest problems in the world today? Well, what are some of the biggest problems in the world today? Well, think about it. Broken families, fatherlessness, divorce, poverty, substance abuse, human trafficking, incarceration, homelessness, domestic violence and abuse, violence in general, teen pregnancy. It goes on and on and on. Who pays the highest price in all of those situations? It's the kids. It's the children. It's the children in those moments that they pay the highest price, and it robs them of their innocence. And their innocence is this: they weren't the ones that caused the problems, and they also don't have the power to solve the problem. Hear that. They weren't the ones to cause the problem, and they don't have the power to solve the problem. And that's a painful and desperate place to be. And that's why God says to his church, "I need you to be plan A for the brokenness in our world today." In Psalm chapter 82, verses 3 through 4, we hear God's heart around the children of this world. He says, "Defend the weak and the fatherless, the orphans. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy." And watch this now. "Deliver them from the hand of the wicked." Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. It's in our DNA. It's in our DNA. When someone is in trouble, it ought to tug at our heart. You know, a few months ago in the spring, we had some interesting creatures crossing the front yard of our house. I kid you not, this was kind of a weird experience because we don't have a body of water, you know, on our property. There's a pond across the street at a neighbor's property, but it's down the hill. And there are a couple of ponds down the hill in our backyard of our property, but we're relatively dry. And so I walked out to the front yard, and crossing our sidewalk like he was going up to ring the doorbell was this little box turtle. I just caught him out of the side of my eye. And so I guess it's not too uncommon to see a box turtle walking across the yard. But I said, "Boy, you know, he this is not a good place for him to be. We need to get him into his environment." And so the kids were with me, and all of a sudden, Isabel, Elizabeth, and Austin and Tana were like, "Well, save the turtle! Save the turtle! We got to save the turtle!" You know, the turtle was out of his environment. He was out of his home. He was lost and lonely. He didn't have his neighbors. He didn't have his family with him. And so we just kind of sprung into action. And so what they did is they picked him up and they took him across the street to the pond, and we dropped him off by that body of water to give him a good place and a good home where people would love him, and so he could be back in his environment. Why? Because he's cute. He's defenseless. He's alone. He was in a bad spot, and we have a heart to save the turtles. Well, then like a week later, this is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. A crayfish, a baby lobster is what I call them, a mud bug, you know, depending on what part of the country you're in, because some people eat those things, okay? A crayfish was walking along our front property, right in the same spot where the turtle was, up to the front door, along the walkway, and he was like ready to ring the doorbell. Evidently, we're a safe haven for lost creatures, okay? And the kids were with me, and guess what they said? Now, you know, listen, a crayfish certainly will not survive without water. Save the crayfish! Save the crayfish! You know, so they grabbed a hold of the crayfish. We texted our neighbor. We said, hey, can we walk across the street, get on your property to your pond and drop this crayfish off? And why would we do that? Well, because the crayfish was cute and defenseless and alone and in a bad spot. And we have a heart to save the crayfish, right? We have a heart to save the whales. We have a heart to save the spotted owls. We have a heart to save cats. Well, some of us do. Some of us do. Do we have a heart to save the children? Because they're cute. They're amazing creations of God. They're alone. They're out of their element. They're apart from a home. And they need to be brought into a loving environment where they can thrive, just like that box turtle and just like that crayfish. Why? Why? Because it's the call of God in our life to rescue the needy, to defend the weak, to care for the fatherless. And it's so easy in our world to have it be out of sight and out of mind and to be like those first two people in the story of the Good Samaritan that we talked about last week. To be that priest that walks along the other side of the road when he sees a fellow person beaten and bloody and bludgeoned on the side of the road, and to walk by that and to just ignore it. And the second Levite, the leader in the church, to walk by on the other side and to be obtuse or oblivious or just not even to pay attention to it. It's so easy. And it's so easy to not care for another person because we have our own bills to pay. We have our own children to raise and our own stuff going on enough to pay attention to the needs of our neighbors around us. But God cares more than we can possibly imagine. And let God's care for us and his creation fall on our hearts to build our care for the neighbors that he's put in front of us. In Psalms chapter 68, verses 5 to 6, the Bible says this: a father to the fatherless is our God. He's a defender of widows. He is a God in his holy dwelling. Verse 6 is the most powerful verse you'll hear today. God sets the lonely in families. I want us to read verse 6 together, just verse 6. You ready to do that? It starts with, God sets the lonely in families. Let's say that. Ready? 1, 2, 3. God sets the lonely in families. That's what God does. God cares. He cares big time for orphans. He cares big time for those in need of a forever family. You know, God is the ultimate children's services. He's the ultimate connector. He's the ultimate of picking up the lonely and finding them a family. How? By using neighbors and using us. He's like, hey, listen, there's a kid praying and they need a home right now. There's a 16-year-old and they're lonely and they don't have anybody to connect to call mom and dad, and they're desperate for that family. There's a 4-month-old right now that doesn't even know how to pray yet or know the predicament they're in, but they're struggling and they're in an abusive situation, and the family, their hearts or the relatives of that family are crying out for somebody to come in, for God to bless and rescue that child. You see, God is looking for families willing to say yes to be the answer to somebody's prayer. And that's just what God does. God is the divine orchestrator. God is the divine connector. He's the great connector of the needs of people to the people that he has in, that are in his creation that can care for those needs. And he has a big heart to bring the lonely into families. Why is that? So that they can experience health, they can experience love, so that they can experience care, so that they can thrive in life and to be exposed especially to the knowing grace of Jesus Christ. I mean, one of the greatest ways to share the love of Christ with our neighbors is to bring somebody into your home. When they come into your home, they don't have a chance not to know Jesus. I mean, what an amazing opportunity to evangelize the world is to help those children that are struggling and to help them understand the true meaning of life and the purpose of life in Jesus Christ. Why would God want to do this? Because of all those reasons, to bless and to help children thrive and grow up and be amazing adults in their life. And so, like we are there for the turtle and the crayfish, what if God got his eye on your family? What if God got his eye on your home? What if God believed that you are the answer to a child's deepest prayer? What if that's possible in our life? You know, this prayer from a child that says, give me a family, give somebody to love me, give me a place to belong. What if this is just what God does? What if this is you? Now, this might make you uncomfortable because you might raise your hand and say, you know, I want to care, but I got so much going on in my life. I don't know if I'm called to foster care. I don't know if I'm called to adopt. And for most of you, that's probably right. You might not be. But it's not okay for us to just simply dismiss it. It's okay for you to relax. There's no need to have anxiety about this. It's the power of the Spirit of God. Some of you, before you dismiss it, though, ought to pause and pray. That's the first thing God wants you to do today, is to pause and pray. God, would you have us be involved? God, would you have us be involved? God, would you have us do something? Are you calling us to be a blessing to children in need? You know, there are families that have prayed, God, would you use us? God, are you wanting to use us to meet significant needs in this way? And there are families within our congregation that have answered that prayer, and God is using. Here's a couple of stories that I received from families in our church that are foster care, that are doing adoption. And here's just a couple of excerpts from their stories. This first family says, you know, we did a weekend respite care for a set of brothers, and we would eventually receive these boys into our homes as fosters. They were 4 and 2, and now they're 5 and 4. They came into our home, their second foster home, by the way, scared and quiet. They didn't speak much, didn't play much, but the change has been amazing. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Same family. Here's another circumstance and child in their life. We received a 3-year-old last year. Her parents had addiction issues, and Children's Services was sure this child would be permanent in our home. Surprisingly, to Children's Services and to us, the parents did well in rehabilitation. We became fond of their parents, the child's parents, during the 10 months that we had her. We loved her, and it was heartbreaking to see her go, but we pray that they become an awesome family unit. There was healing there and reconciliation. Praise be to God. And then with this same child, there was another comment. It took months for her to open up to us. Maybe sadly, she bonded to us rather quickly. We say sadly because we think it was part of her desperation to have someone to cling to when she was, quote-unquote, ripped away from her family. These are real-life stories, real-life stories. Here's another family in our church that does foster care and, in some cases, even adoption. We were notified of a mother wanting to place their unborn child with a family for adoption. We were introduced to this mother, and it was a go from the start. We talked with her on occasion, but we're especially blessed to be able to take her to prenatal visits and to see the ultrasound and be present. For the birth of the child. Although birth mom knew she could not be this child's forever mom, she loved her enough to find a family who could. We are still in contact with birth mom and dad, and I continue to pray that one day birth mom will find her way back to a life free of drugs. And in both cases, these families would say without a doubt they would encourage anybody and everybody to participate in this opportunity to minister to the needs of children. But in their stories, in every case, there was an opportunity to say, God, are you wanting to use us? God, are you planning on using us? It was the same thing when I was about, I think I was about 14 or 15, when my mom and dad called me into their bedroom and they said, we've been praying. You kind of get in trouble when you've been praying. And my brother was in there, and my brother Matt and I, and they said, Matt and John, we want you to know that we are feeling led by God to adopt a little girl. As a matter of fact, we already know who she is. Her name is Alexis, and she's going to be coming in to live with us. And I remember them saying, you know, they had prayed about it, that it was God that had said to them, this is what I'm calling you and asking you to do. So God is just simply asking you today to pray. Would you pray? I remember back in 2003, we were praying desperately. We'd been praying for years. God, would you provide children for us? And Erin was praying a little bit too much because she said, hey, I want to go to Montgomery County Children's Services and I want to take some foster care to adopt classes. And I said, I don't know if I'm ready for that or not. But we stepped up and we stepped in and we started taking the classes, and then we started seeing the needs of the kids, and we were hearing stories of abuse and addiction and parents that needed help and challenges, and our eyes were open to that, and we brought foster kids into our home, and we had up to 13 to 14 different foster kids at some point in time, and then we had the privilege of adopting Austin and Tawna, and they came to live in our lives. They found Jesus Christ since they've been living with us. They've been thriving, and it's just been an amazing experience. We're their forever family, and they're my forever son and forever daughter, and it's just an absolute amazing experience, and that all started as a result of, would we just simply be open to praying? I remember Erin looked at me. She said, well, just pray about it. I've been praying. I said, well, we've been praying for the infertility issue, and this was just another level that God said, I want you to pray. And when we pray, God might use us to be the person to meet the needs of a child who needs a forever family and a place to belong. We're able to share the love and the grace of Jesus Christ with them. We are called by God We are called by God to pray, to not just close our eyes to the needs of the world. That's what it means to be a good neighbor. You see, God places the lonely in families, and it's the churches, it's his plan A for churches to reach out to children and to place them in families, children that are in need of being picked up and connected and placed. What could be closer to being more Christ-like than to place the lonely in families? What could be closer than taking on the character of God himself in our life than to bring children into your own home? Because that's exactly what God has done for you. That's exactly what God has done for me. You see, before I found Christ, I was a spiritual orphan. I was lost. You know, I was separated from God. I was separated from my Creator because of the sin in my life. I was separated from God. And so what did God do? God said, I'm not satisfied with that. I'm into placing the lonely in families. I want you in my spiritual family. So God then gave me the name Christian and a child of God and became my heavenly Father, not because of what I was able to do. Remember, the children are caught in the middle. They neither created the problem nor have the power to solve the problem. And because of your sin, you know, you might not have personally created it, but humankind did in Adam and Eve, but you don't have the power to solve it. Only in Jesus Christ is there power to solve that. So God sent his son, Jesus Christ, and when you call on the name of Jesus, you get a chance to be adopted into the kingdom of God, not because you're good, but because God is good. Not because you deserved it, but because he's good, and his grace is amazing, and his compassion is awesome, and he's just filled with the delight to place the lonely in families. This is who your God is. And so Jesus came, and when you call on the name of Jesus, you will be spiritually born into the family of God, and you have been adopted. I'm looking at a bunch of adopted people. If you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life, raise your hand today, and you look at your neighbor and say, I'm adopted. Look at your neighbor and say, I've been adopted. You look at your other neighbor and say, I've been adopted. And maybe today you've never said yes to Jesus Christ, and today is the day for your adoption. Today is the day to confess your sins to God and say, I need you in my life. I can't do this on my own. Jesus, come and reside in my heart. I'd love to talk to you more about that. Any of our leaders up front would be able to happy to talk to you about that. And Pastor Nancy would be happy to talk to you about that. But what would be more Christ-like and God-like than to bring a child, a lonely person, into your home? Because that's what God has done for you in his household. Amen? And that's the gospel of Christ. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Paul writes these words, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. And it gave him great pleasure. It gave him great pleasure to bring you into his household. You see, adoption is bringing you into his family. And when he did that, it brought him great pleasure. And if you're willing to step into foster care and adoption, it will bring you the same kind of pleasure and amazing satisfaction. Now, you might say, listen, I could never foster care. I could never bring children into my home with the goal of getting them back to their biological family because it would just rip my heart out. I understand. That's painful. And those challenges are a reality. You're right. It will. It will be painful and challenging. Aaron and I experienced that when we were doing foster care. The pain of having children come into our home, in some cases abusive situations, to nurture them, to heal them back up, and only to be called to send them back right back into that home without the rehabilitation happening. It was heartbreaking. It was frustrating. We would love on the children, and then they would leave. It does hurt. But if it doesn't hurt, you might not be doing the right thing. If it doesn't hurt in the name of God and Jesus Christ, you might not be doing the right thing. Listen, I've discovered in God that 9 times out of 10, the right thing to do is the painful thing to do. And oftentimes, if we're going through painful circumstances, God has us right where he wants us to not only grow us and mature us, but to use us in someone else's painful circumstances to liberate them and to free them from whatever trial or oppression it is that they're dealing with. That's not easy, and it's not always fun. It's a great challenge. And so, you might be saying, listen, I'm feeling a little bit guilty here. Well, we're not here to guilt anyone, but as a church, we're just simply recognizing that we are God's plan A. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and nudging you to say yes, there are 2 promises that you need to hear if you're willing to pray about this. And if God's saying yes to you, 2 promises. Number one, it will be hard beyond imagination. That's a guarantee. It will be hard beyond imagination. It might be one of the most difficult things you ever do. It'll be complications. There'll be tears. You have your own set of biological children, you're saying, and it's going to be hard on them. Yes, it probably will. To bring someone in who's been through a lot of stuff, it's hard. And you got to make sure that you protect your family and keep them safe as well. But when did serving God become about our own convenience and our own comfort? When did serving God become about our own convenience and our own comfort? That's the first promise. It will be hard beyond imagination. But secondly, the second promise is the child is worth it. the child is worth it. You see, all of us cannot do everything. And not one of us can save the world on our own. Only God can do that, but he wants to use his people to be a part of that. Praise be to God. Not all of us can do everything, but all of us can do something. Amen? All of us can do something. What is it we can do? Maybe you're not meant to do foster care. Maybe you're not meant to adopt, but you can be an advocate for foster care and adoption. You can be an influence. You can come alongside of a family who's doing that and provide respite care for them, for foster families. You can bless a single mom who's loving and caring on their kids the best way that she can, and you kind of pseudo-adopt her and say, our family is going to do everything we can to love on this family because she's struggling to make ends meet. We're going to help transport her kids. You know, we're going to be there at their graduations. We're going to do whatever we can to come alongside of a single mom. You can make a significant investment. You can care for that family. You can show the love of Jesus to that family. You can be available to God's system. Maybe you're not called to be a part of the system. You're not called to be a part of, for us, it was Montgomery County Children's Services, whatever it is, Perry County Children's Services, Muskingum County Children's Services. Maybe you're not called to be a part of that system, but we're all called to be a part of God's system of neighboring. We're all called to be a part of God's system of neighboring in our life. And so what could that look like? You can be available for him to use you to be a neighbor in somebody's life. You see a need right in front of you, and you let him use you to make a difference. Now, what we believe as a church, what we believe as Christ followers, is exactly what God feels in his heart, and that is that all life is of sacred worth. All life is of sacred worth, both unborn and born. We believe that all life is of sacred worth. Amen? Amen. And so what we want to do is we want to come alongside of all people. And so whether it's a child who's in need or it's a scared teenage young lady who has wound up pregnant and has made a bad choice, or maybe it wasn't their choice and it was a horrible situation, we're going to come alongside and love that young lady too. Because we're called to love on all people no matter what our challenges are. Maybe there's a parent who, for whatever reason, was just not equipped in this moment in their life to care for their child. But we want you to know that we care. And we're going to love you any way that we can. And you are welcome here all day long. You see, we are all in need of a family. We're all in need of a spiritual family. And no matter what the challenges in our life or where we find ourselves in this conversation, this is what we're to be about. And that is to breathe life into people and to help people with their life. That is what it means to be an amazing neighbor. Because you can be someone's spiritual family. Even if you don't wind up doing foster care or adoption, you can be someone's spiritual family. It doesn't have to be a huge step. It can be some small steps like serving in kids' praise, serving the kids that you saw in front of you here today, getting involved in RPG, which is the Rolling Plains Gang. That's our youth ministry here, and working with Bo. By the way, next time you see Bo, give him a high five. Next time you see Heather, give her a hug and tell him great job. Thanks for what you do. And say to them, how can I help you? How can I be a part of this ministry? Maybe it's just a small step for you, and you may not even realize it, but in some ways, you're going to be helping a foster home. You're going to be helping an adoptive home because we have families here that do foster care. We have families here that have adopted children. And if you're serving in those ministries, you're going to be blessing and working with those kids. Hey, males, we need positive male role models. We need men to step up and to be mentors. Ladies, we need you to throw baby showers for those that are performing adoptions. Maybe you can come alongside of a caseworker in our county somewhere and bless them. You can do something. And if you make a difference in the life of a child, you may not change the world, but you will change the world in that child's life. You will change his or her world. You may not change the whole world, but you will change his or her world. And if you bless that person, if you bless that child, who knows the countless people that child will someday grow up and influence and reciprocate what you've done for them. I mean, let's just dream big on this one. I mean, what if in our church, every single parent, every single mom, every single dad, whether struggling or not struggling, and who as a parent has never struggled before? Some of our struggles are more severe than others. What if every single mom, dad, and parent in our church felt the love of God and the support of their church in caring and ministering to their children? What if there was a waiting list of people to serve in our kids' praise and our children's ministry? What if there's a waiting list to serve in our RPG in our youth ministry? What if there's a waiting list of people that want to come out on a Friday night after a home football game for Maysville and come and just be a chaperone and hang out and just keep a watchful eye over the middle schoolers and high schoolers that we invite to come into this this church. There's a couple hundred of them on a Friday night after a home football game for Maysville and for End Zone. And that's coming up here soon. What if there was a waiting list to get involved in things like that because we just wanted to make a difference in the life of a child? What if there was a waiting list of foster care and adoptive parents in our nation, in the state of Ohio, in the county that we live in, rather than a list of kids in need of families because the church rose up so much so as God's plan A that there was no more need, that we were not just there to pick up turtles and to pick up crayfish and to guard the spotted owls and to save the whales and the cats, but we were there in the name of God's children. In the name of God's children. What if that was a reality, that we opened up our homes as neighbors to children in need? Here's a couple of action steps for you and we'll wrap this up. Number one, choose to be a part of the family of God. If you have never said yes to Jesus Christ and you have never become a part of the family of God, all you need to do is to say, Jesus, I need you in my life. I accept your invitation. Forgive me of my sins. You take leadership in my life, and today will be your adoption day. Praise be to God. It's time for you to be adopted into the family of God, and it's your choice. Number two, talk about this with your family and pray. At least have a conversation with your spouse, a loved one. If you don't have a spouse and you're a single person, that's okay. You could still do this. You can still do this. Talk to a mother, a father, a parent, or a friend and say, gosh, I'm really praying about this. What do you think? Don't go past this week without at least praying about it and having a conversation with somebody. Number three, call your county children's services. I don't know if that's Muskingum, Perry County for you, whatever it might be, wherever you live, call your local children's services and see what they might say. Heather had a conversation with Donna Cole, who is at Muskingum County Children's Services, and she said at any given moment they have between 58 to 60 different foster families in Muskingum County. They have more than 64 foster children at any given moment. 51 of them are a part of a sibling group of two or more. That's the greatest need that they have, is families willing to take in sibling groups. And they said their agency has been receiving 314 calls per month, which is about 15 per workday. And they open up four new cases and get started on those cases every single day. She says, we desperately need foster families who can take sibling groups or teenagers. You know, the need is out there. Will God's local church respond? Because we are God's plan A. We serve a good and amazing God. To him be the glory. Amen.
Well, it's good to be with you today and to be reminded that we're here because we're family. And so whether you're here for the first time ever or just for the first time today, it's good to be with family. We pray as you leave today that you will remind those that are brought before you that they have a chance to be part of a family too. And that you will bring them here or to another church where they feel